Years ago, I attended a Billy Graham crusade. I think there were probably 5,000 or 6,000 people in the building at the time, and we all stood together and sang, "How Great Thou Art." It was a wonderful, wonderful experience, a great feeling of the presence of God's Holy Spirit. But I also want to tell you that this morning, as this number, over 100 as we are here this morning, we sang, "I exalt you, we exalt you." I was touched as deeply this morning as I was then, back in the Billy Graham crusade. What a wonderful truth it is that a congregation can stand and honor Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and "I will exalt you." And we exalted him in our singing this morning. This is why we have come, to lift up the name of Jesus, to praise and to glorify him. Many years ago, I learned that you never begin an essay with an apology, or you never begin a message with an apology. But contrary to that rule, I have an apology. Now, what on earth would that apology be? Well, last week I quoted a number of statistics, and all of those statistics were true except one. Now, I said that a number of denominations, how many, what percentage it was of people who did not believe or who did believe that Jesus was going to return. And then I also mentioned that there are 88 keys on a piano, a standard piano or standard keyboard, and that's true. All of those are true. But then I said there are 88 books in the Bible. Now, that's not true. That was an accident. I said there were 39 books in the Old Testament. That's true. I said there are 27 books in the New Testament. That's true. And then I said there are 88 books in the Bible in total. Not true. There are 66 books in the Old Testament. I can remember a program on television years ago. I think the character's name was Urkel. And I think he said, "Did I say that?" Well, that was in my mind. Did I say that? And indeed, I did. But you know, this serves another purpose. I can tell you that we always remember the errors more than we do the truth. And so everybody will now go home and say, "Ah, ha, ha, ha. The pastor said there are 88 books in the Bible, but there are only 66. But the important thing is, you now know there are only 66 books in the Bible. So for this, we praise God. Well, now then, there's a chorus that sometimes we used to sing in Sunday school, and it is, "Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place." And indeed it is. And this morning, the Lord willing, we are going to take a look at the preciousness of heaven. Now, very often, pastors, in fact, most often, pastors will have an introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion. Well, this morning, I've given you an introduction. We're going to have not 3 points, but 7 points. Brace yourself. And then there will be a conclusion. But the 7 points won't take any longer than the 3 points, so you can relax and praise God. So let's begin by taking a look at Revelation chapter 22. This is a chapter on heaven. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to begin to read at verse number 1. Verse number 1 through to and including verse number 6. Let us hear the word of God. "Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them the light, and they will reign forever and ever." The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A heaven, a place to which you and I can look forward. Some time ago, the television evangelist and preacher, Dr. David Jeremiah, wrote these words. He said, "Everything that is near and dear to you and me, everything that is important to Christ followers, is in heaven. Everything. Everything." And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What are these 7 points? I'm going to give them to you quickly, but then we'll look at each one. Our Redeemer is in heaven. Our relationships are in heaven. Our resources are in heaven. Our reward is in heaven. Our riches is in heaven. And our reservation is in heaven. Now, this is a message to all believers in Jesus Christ, not just believers, but those who place their trust in Him as Savior and Lord. We are heaven bound. And absolutely everything that's important to you and to me, not only now, but in the future, is in heaven. First of all, our Redeemer is in heaven. In the book of Hebrews, we read these words, "For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." What a praise God item this is. Just imagine, we know that Jesus is in heaven presently, and the very moment that we get to heaven, we will see Jesus, the Savior of our souls. It will be a most dramatic moment. I think it will be a very emotional moment as well, as we are able to bow before the feet of Jesus, as we are able to worship Him and finally see Him face to face. That moment is beyond description, and yet it's coming to every believer. Now, here in this lifetime, we know a lot about Jesus. We learn about Jesus. We read about Jesus. We see the effect of Jesus on earth. We see the effect of His Holy Spirit dealing in the lives of people as people reach out to others with the gospel message and to assist wherever necessary. We see the results of Jesus, but we don't see Him face to face. There will be a day coming when we will see Him face to face. Praise be to God. Peter records these words, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." When we think about a relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Christ, empowered by His Holy Spirit, then that brings to us glorious joy. It is inexpressible at times. There are times when I'm out walking and I happen to see a sunset or a sunrise. There are not words to thank God enough for this beauty. When I look at the beauty of creation all around us, I'm just absolutely amazed. I don't like shoveling snow, but I can tell you that when that snow falls and the ground is covered and you look out and you see the beauty that's all around us, I find it's an opportunity to praise God. I would like to say, praise God, and please send along a couple of shovels as well. But nonetheless, it's a praise God item to see God's creation and to experience it. Now then, if we are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy because we have placed our trust in Jesus, just think about how much glory, much more glorious it's going to be when we get to glory and we are actually in His presence. It's almost unbelievable, but yet it is true. We read this in Revelation. We read these words earlier. "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They shall see His face." His servants shall see Him. That's us. We shall see His face. Our Redeemer, Jesus, is in heaven. Our relationships are in heaven. Heaven is so very precious, especially to believers, because our relationships continue there. We have relationships here on earth. We have relationships particularly with other believers. And in having these relationships with other believers, we know that we are going to spend eternity having a relationship with people that we know and love and have come to appreciate. I remember just a few weeks before my dad went home to glory. We were in Halifax at the time, heading home to Ontario, but my dad was there, and he pulled me into his bedroom, and he said, "Son, I just want you to know that I am getting homesick for heaven." Now, I knew he was homesick for heaven, I knew that he was soon going to go. I didn't know that he was going to go within 2 weeks of that statement, but nonetheless, that's what it was. I'm getting homesick for heaven. But that has given me something ever since then to think about, that my relationships are going to be in heaven. One minister said to his son on one occasion, "Son, one of the things about getting old is that one day you begin to realize you have more friends in heaven than you do here on earth." Now, that's often the case. Our Redeemer is in heaven, our relationships are in heaven, and our resources are in heaven. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter wrote these words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. He was writing to believers. He's writing to us. Praise be to God. When you and I became a Christian, God became our Father, and he made us an heir, H-E-I-R. He made us an heir along with Jesus. Unbelievable in many ways, but nonetheless, absolute truth. There are some other scripture passages that relate to this. In Ephesians, "In him we were also chosen." And some translation says, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance." We have obtained an incredible, eternal inheritance. In Colossians we read, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." In Hebrews, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance." And in Revelation, "He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God." God the Father will be our God. We can only come to him by putting all of our trust in Jesus as Savior. What an inheritance. This inheritance, eternal inheritance, in heaven will never be touched by inflation. It will never be lost in any kind of economic crash. Its value will never decline or decrease. It is reserved and preserved for us. Our name is on it, and our eternal resources are there. There's another good reason why we are to hearken to the words of Jesus when he said this in Matthew, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, here's a question for us. I wonder where my treasure is. I wonder where your treasure is. I wonder if we are building up treasure in heaven. We have a little more to say about that shortly. Our Redeemer is in heaven. Our relationships are in heaven. Our resources are in heaven. And our residence is in heaven. When believers die physically, at that precise moment of physical death, and we talked about this before, but at that moment, when we take our last breath down here, we take our first breath up there. Our soul, spirit, mind, and personality leave the body behind. That is, unless we go via the rapture, but that's a story for another day. But if we die physically, our soul, our spirit, our mind, our personality leave our body behind. We are escorted by angels, and we go into the presence of the Lord. Praise be to him. We enter his presence for all eternity, and therefore our eternal residence is with him. Wherever he is, wherever he will be, we will be there with him. Not only is it our dwelling place, but also this is where our citizenship is. As soon as we become a Christian, our citizenship is in heaven. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." To put this in perspective, before we placed our trust in Jesus as Savior, we were citizens of this earth. We still are citizens of this earth. And some of us were hoping that we would get to heaven. However, once we place all our trust in Jesus, we are no longer just citizens of this earth, but we, we are no longer just citizens on earth who are going to heaven. We are now citizens of heaven who are traveling through earth. What a difference it makes. We're citizens of the earth on our way to heaven, but more importantly, we're citizens of heaven going through this earth. And praise be to God. I pray that your life and my life will be an influence of some nature that other people, family members, friends, neighbors, colleagues that we have at work or at school, wherever it happens to be, that they too will be going to heaven because they see something in us, and that something is Jesus. Seeing Jesus in us, reaching out in an act of love to touch others. Most Canadians, I guess, have a passport showing the place where they were born and where we presently live. But that simply has to do with our earthly existence. For believers, our citizenship is in heaven. Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Did you ever think that you would be an ambassador? I often look at television, I see an ambassador to this country or an ambassador to that country. They have a diplomatic immunity. All of these things go on. They are a special breed of people. They are specially touched. But here you and I are. One popular preacher says that we have the royal blood of heaven flowing through our veins. We've accepted Christ. His Holy Spirit has come to live with him. We are citizens of heaven. We are bound to heaven. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's our task. That's our duty to perform. Ambassadors for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are three other points regarding heaven. The fifth one is our reward is in heaven. Jesus told his followers, amid persecution, rejoice and be glad. You know, if you're being persecuted at any time, or if somebody's pointing to you and saying something discouraging, it's very difficult to rejoice and be glad. And yet, the scripture says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who went before you. Believers are under persecution today. Believers in Christ. I don't know whether you are under persecution, but collectively we are under persecution. Even in certain ways, those who rule over us are persecuting against the true God, persecuting us, persecuting people who laugh at us for putting our trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. That is a form of persecution. We may have more to say about this on another occasion. But here's the sixth reason. Our riches are in heaven. Quoted previously, I quoted the verse about laying up riches in heaven. Now, how can we lay up treasure in heaven, riches in heaven? We do so, we get there, we will be in heaven. That's a great richness that cannot be compared with anything else. But we need to take a look at where we spend our money, what we do with the resources that we have, what we do with our talents and our time and our treasure, and are any or all of those dedicated to the work of the Lord. Sometimes people don't know, they have some money and they don't know what to do with it. Find a source that you can give Bibles to other people, or that you can give a video on the path of Christ to other people, or pray for others, or find out from your mission team within your congregation if a certain contribution can be given. We need to think not about the now, we need to think about the then. And what we need to do is today, we need to build up resources. If you and I witness to someone and they become a believer, that's storing up riches in heaven. If you and I have a talent that we have, you know, I feel so badly. There are lots of people that I know, some affiliated on the outskirts of our church, who have talents. And those talents today should be being used to serve the Lord. Can they be used for other things? Yes, but they should be used, first of all, to serve the Lord. It's one of the reasons why I so appreciate us having a worship service on the first day of the week. It's the first day of the week that we are exalting the Lord, the first day of the week that we are honoring him. And on that first day of the week, we give our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings unto him. It starts the week off in the right way. I'm glad we have on the first Sunday of every month a communion service when we gather around the table to remember Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us. When we do all of this, this is storing up treasures in heaven. Remember, everything that we have today, we can't take with us. While our soul, spirit, mind, and personality go out into glory, everything else is left behind. We need to be storing up treasure in heaven. Finally, our reservation is in heaven. Every now and then, when we travel, particularly if we're going down east, we reserve ahead a place to sleep. We reserve a motel. Now, one year, our children were small, and we were heading east, and we did not do that. And we drove and drove and drove, and there wasn't a motel available anywhere. And finally, all the way from Toronto in those days, all the way from Toronto, we ended up in Hartford, New Brunswick. That's a long, long drive. And we found a tourist home. It was midnight. And we went into the tourist home, and they said, yes, we have space. So Linda, myself, and three children, Stephen was just a baby at that time. So we went into this tourist home. And Linda and I were with the children in another room, and Linda and I were in a bedroom. And the bed was the squeakiest bed we've ever slept in. Every move, squeak, 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 squeak. Well, we didn't get to bed until after midnight. We were up at 8 o'clock in the morning, hardly slept during the night at all. I was ready to take a new motel the next morning before we drove on further. But making a reservation is really a smart move. We learned the hard way. But now, did you know that every believer in Jesus Christ, our reservation is in heaven? It is already there. Scripture tells us, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Have you ever put your trust in Jesus as Savior? Then if you have, your name is written in heaven. There's a reservation there. It's waiting for you. The reservation is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is there. When it is there, it's not going to be erased. If it's never in there, that's another story. Your name needs to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll have that reservation. One of these days, every person on earth is going to face the judgment day. One of these days, every person on earth is going to face Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. We're either going to bow before him as our Savior, or we're going to bow before him as our judge. Is he your judge, or is he your Savior? If he were to say to you, and on that day, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Would you say, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Jesus, all you need to do is check. You'll see that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a reservation. I have put all of my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and therefore I qualify to enter these gates because of the shed blood of Jesus, who paid the price for my sin. It sounds too simple, but that's exactly what it is. That's what faith is all about. Faith is unseen. What we see in our mind is Jesus hanging on the cross, and he died for us to pay for your sin and for mine. Yes, heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen? Amen. Well, now, it is not only a wonderful place, it is the most wonderful place that you could ever think of. We have learned this about heaven. Our Redeemer lives in heaven. Our relationships are in heaven. Our resources are in heaven. Our residence is in heaven. Our reward is in heaven. Our riches are in heaven. And our reservation is in heaven. Now let me ask you, is your reservation in heaven? Let me ask you, at some point in your life, did you turn to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and I know you're the only one who could be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sin, past, present, and future. I put my trust in you, all of my trust in you. I put my trust in you. I look to you as being my Savior. I know now that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I would highly recommend that you do it now, because you do not know what the next 5 minutes or the next 5 hours, 5 days, weeks, or months are going to bring. We do not know when we are going to face our Savior face to face, either as judge or Savior. I pray that we all will face him as our Savior, because we have made him the Lord of our life. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all these glories of heaven. Who knows who will be leaving our congregation next on their way to glory? Who knows who in our congregation will be leaving our congregation but will not be heading out to glory because they have not turned their life over to you? Lord Jesus, make this a red letter day in the life of that person. Anyone who has not received you, may they do so this day, for we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, folks, I just feel moved to repeat that prayer once again. And the prayer I'm going to repeat is, if this has meaning to you and you've never given your life to Jesus, do so this day. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I know it. I look to you because you are the only one who can be my Savior. Lord Jesus, I place all of my trust in you. Forgive me of all of my sins. I confess my sins. Lord, there are many, too many to number. But I confess them, and I now believe that you have saved me from this sinful life. I put my trust in you. Please come into my life, even now. Help me to serve you forever and forever. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I ask this in my Savior's name. Amen.